Welcome to this deep dive.
Glad to be here.
We're so glad you're joining us today, because if you've spent any time generating images with AI over the last, well, really over the last couple of years, you know the struggle.
Oh, intimately.
Right. There's always been this really frustrating tug of war between speed and quality.
Yeah, the inevitable compromise.
Exactly. When you need an asset generated in, say, 3 seconds, you usually have to settle. You get something that looks a bit, I don't know,
And
plastic.
cartoonish, yeah.
Yeah, or it just completely misses the finer details of your prompt. But then on the flip side, if you want that stunning, photorealistic, studio-grade masterpiece,
You're going to be waiting.
you are sitting there watching a progress bar,
Okay.
and it's going to cost you a premium in compute credits. You basically had to pick a lane.
Right. You had to choose.
But today's topic challenges that entirely. We don't really have to make that compromise anymore.
We really don't. We're looking at a major structural shift in how AI image generation balances time, cost, and fidelity. The industry is moving away from forcing developers and creators to choose between a rapid prototyping tool and a final render tool.
They're consolidating workflows.
Exactly. Aiming to just put it all in one package.
So our mission for this deep dive is to completely unpack Google's brand new Nano Banana 2 model.
Which officially goes by the highly technical name of Gemini 3.1 Flash Image.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah, quite the mouthful.
But this model just launched on February 26, 2026, and it is reshaping the landscape. And to give you the most comprehensive picture possible, we've gathered a massive stack of sources for
We've
today.
got a lot of ground to cover.
We really do. We're pulling directly from Google DeepMind's official model cards, the newly updated Gemini API developer docs, the official launch blogs,
And we also have some great hands-on testing coverage.
right, from TechCrunch and the Decoder, plus an internal research brief provided by the team over at yourrender.ai.
And that stack of sources is crucial, because it allows us to look at this release from multiple angles. We aren't just looking at the marketing claims.
We're looking at the actual raw API costs.
The developer integration challenges, the actual benchmark tests. We want to see how this model actually behaves when you push it to its limits.
Okay, let's unpack this. Let's start with the architecture itself. What exactly is Nano Banana 2, and what does it bring to the table compared to previous generations?
To understand Nano Banana 2, you have to look at its foundation, which is the Gemini 3.1 Flash Image architecture. And the most accurate way to conceptualize this is as the ultimate Goldilocks model.
The Goldilocks model. I like that.
Yeah, because back in November 2025, Google released Nano Banana Tro.
Right.
And that was their heavy-duty, maximum quality model. Visually brilliant, but computationally very heavy.
Slower or more expensive to run.
Exactly. So Nano Banana 2 is engineered to hit the perfect sweet spot for production. It's designed to deliver roughly 95% of the studio-grade quality you'd get from the Pro model, but it operates at 3 to 5 times the speed.
3 to 5 times, that changes the entire iteration process for a designer.
Completely.
And looking at the specs, it's clear this was built for immediate production use.
Yeah.
I mean, the output flexibility goes way beyond standard aspect ratios.
Oh, absolutely.
It supports 14 different dimensions, including extreme panoramas like 1 to 4, 4 to 1, 1 to 8, and 8 to 1. I'm curious why they prioritize those ultra-wide or ultra-tall formats.
Well, those extreme ratios directly address the changing demands of digital media today. A 1 to 8 ratio isn't for a standard Instagram post.
Right, no one is scrolling a 1-to-8 aspect ratio on their phone.
Exactly. It's heavily utilized in spatial computing and virtual reality environments. Developers need to generate seamless wraparound textures or immersive skyboxes.
Oh, that makes sense.
And it's also highly relevant for digital out-of-home advertising.
Yeah.
Think of those massive ribbon billboards you see in places like Times Square.
Oh, sure.
The model pairs that spatial flexibility with resolution scaling that starts at a highly efficient 512 pixels, which is ideal for populating mobile apps with lightweight assets.
And scales all the way up, right?
All the way up to a crisp, uncompressed 4K resolution for print or high-end displays.
I want to dig into one of the biggest headaches creators face, which is consistency. Historically, if you generated a character in a specific outfit in scene A, getting that exact same character to appear in scene B,
It was a nightmare.
total nightmare. Without them suddenly changing facial structures or clothing details, it required a massive amount of external masking and editing.
Yeah, lots of manual touch-ups.
But the documentation claims Nano Banana 2 can maintain character resemblance for up to 5 characters and preserve the high fidelity details of up to 14 specific objects in a single workflow.
And that capability fundamentally alters visual storytelling.
How so?
Well, if you're developing a storyboard for a film or a cohesive comic book or a sequential ad campaign, you need the product and the talent to look identical from shot to shot.
Right.
Previously, AI models treated every prompt as a blank slate. You had to do extensive fine-tuning to force the model to remember what the character looked like. But NanoBanana 2 holds those variables in its immediate memory context.
Meaning you can move a consistent cast of characters through different environments.
Exactly.
I saw the Pet Passport demo in the notes, which highlights this perfectly, I think. You upload a single photo of your pet, and the model places them at famous global landmarks. But we've seen basic face-swapping technology for years.
Oh, sure.
So what makes this mathematically different from what older models were doing?
Face-swapping simply pastes a 2D image over another and tries to blend the edges. What NanoBanana 2 is doing is much deeper. It extracts the defining features of your pet.
Like the fur pattern.
The specific fur pattern, the geometry of the snout, the exact collar they're wearing, and it maps them into its latent space. So when you ask it to put your dog in front of the Taj Mahal at sunset, it isn't pasting a photo. It's actively re-rendering your dog from scratch, adjusting the lighting on the fur to match the ambient orange glow of the sunset in that specific environment.
So it's a true 3D-aware contextual recreation, not just a 2D collage.
Exactly.
The practical applications go beyond just photography, too. The Google launch highlighted its ability to create highly specific infographics. They showed a prompt for a DIY water cycle diagram done in a flat-lay photography style.
Complete with beautifully arranged physical objects acting as educational labels.
Right. And another one was a high-contrast comic-style triptych explaining cumulus, stratus, and cirrus clouds. The layout and the aesthetic were just perfectly aligned with the prompt.
What's fascinating here is the advanced text rendering that makes those infographics functional. For years, the hallmark of AI-generated images was gibberish text.
Oh, the alien alphabet.
Yes. The models understood the visual shape of a sign or a label, but they'd fill it with letters that just melted into each other. But NanoBanana 2 utilizes a refined text encoder. It treats typography with the same spatial importance as a physical object.
So it renders precise, legible text.
Natively, across multiple languages.
They demonstrated that with the global ad localizer demo, right?
Yes.
If you have a marketing image for a coffee brand, you can use the model to translate the text on the ad from English to Hindi or Spanish.
And it doesn't just swap the font.
No, it actually localizes the visual simultaneously to fit the cultural context of that specific market in a single generation step.
Which is incredible. And that localized visual generation is deeply tied to one of the most powerful engines under the hood, Surge Grounding.
Okay, let's talk about that.
NanoBanana 2 has a base knowledge cutoff of January 2025. Now, in the rapidly evolving landscape of technology and global events, a static cutoff date is a significant handicap. But Google bypasses this limitation entirely by allowing the model to connect directly to real-time Google Web and Image Search.
So it's actively pulling in today's data to inform the visual output, bridging the gap between its static training data and the live internet.
That real-time connection is the crucial piece. When a developer utilizes the API, they can enable grounding. The model briefly pauses, queries the live internet for the required visual or factual context, and integrates that data into the generation process.
The API documentation provides a brilliant example of this with an app concept called Window Seat.
Yes.
I love this one. This application generates photorealistic views out of a simulated window. And because it uses search grounding, a user can ask for the view from a specific skyscraper in Tokyo.
And the model will pull live weather data.
Right. Current cloud cover, real world architectural imagery. Just to ensure the generated view matches the actual conditions outside at that very moment.
It's referencing the real world rather than just hallucinating a generic city skyline.
But handling that level of complex real-time data integration requires a lot of logical processing. The documentation mentions something called the thinking process. Does this add a massive delay or a hidden cost to the generation?
No, and that's the beauty of it. The thinking mode is a built-in reasoning process that, notably, cannot be turned off in the Gemini 3 architecture.
Oh, it's always on.
Always on. When you submit a complex prompt, the model doesn't just instantly throw pixels onto the canvas. It actually generates up to 2 interim thought images first.
Kind of like a thumbnail sketch.
Exactly like a traditional painter, creating a quick thumbnail sketch to test the composition before touching the final canvas. The model uses these interim steps to test the spatial logic, verify that the objects are interacting correctly with the light sources, and ensure the prompt's constraints are met.
And the user never sees these sketches, right? They just get the final result.
Correct. These thought images happen entirely in the backend. Furthermore, Google does not charge the user for these interim generation steps. You only pay for the final output.
That's generous.
It trades a tiny fraction of a second in initial latency for a massive structural leap in logical coherence. It ensures the final 4K render doesn't contain glaring anatomical or physical errors.
Which brings us to a major pivot in the ecosystem, because with all these capabilities, NanoBanana 2 has essentially staged a coup against its older sibling. It's replacing NanoBanana Pro as the new default across the board.
The transition is quite definitive. If you open the Gemini app today, whether you're using the fast mode, the thinking mode, or even the setting labeled as pro mode,
you're actually utilizing the NanoBanana 2 architecture by default.
Exactly.
So for the users who still want access to the original NanoBanana Pro, they have to go hunting for it.
Yeah, it's now positioned as a highly specialized niche tool for Google AI Ultra subscribers.
Mm.
It's tucked away behind a three-dot menu where you have to specifically request to regenerate your image with a heavier model.
Google is clearly signaling that NanoBanana 2 is the workhorse they want the world using.
Without a doubt.
So what does this all mean for the developers and businesses actually footing the bill for this technology?
The economics are where this shift makes the most sense.
Mm.
When you look at the raw API costs, NanoBanana 2 is consistently 40 to 50% cheaper than the Pro model across every resolution tier.
Let's look at the actual numbers, because the scaling really is impressive. If a developer just needs a small 512 pixel image for a UI element, it's only $0.045 per image.
Fractions of a cent.
Right. But the real story is at the standard 1K resolution. On the older Pro model, generating a 1K image cost a developer $0.134.
Or 13 cents.
Yeah. But on NanoBanana 2, that exact same 1K resolution costs just $0.067.
A straight 50% cost reduction at the industry standard resolution is highly disruptive. It alters the financial runway for startups building generative applications.
Mm.
And even as you scale up to a 2K image, the cost is just $0.101. For the maximum 4K resolution, it's $0.151 per image, compared to a hefty $0.240 on the Pro model.
That adds up fast.
If you're an enterprise generating hundreds of thousands of dynamic assets a month, cutting your API overhead in half while maintaining 95% of the visual fidelity, it's an operational no-brainer.
I do have to ask, though, is the intelligence really on par with the Pro model? I read a fascinating test from the Decoder that I think perfectly illustrates how capable NanoBanana 2 actually is.
The horse test.
Yes. The horse test. They wanted to see if the model actually follows instructions or if it just lazily relies on its training data. So they gave it a bizarre prompt, an image of a horse riding a human.
That specific prompt is a classic stress test for generative models because it pits the user's explicit instructions against the statistical weight of the model's training data.
Exactly. And AI has analyzed millions of images of humans riding horses. So when you ask older models for the reverse, they usually ignore the prompt.
They assume you made a typo.
Right. They assume the user made a typographical error and they draw a human on a horse because that's what the math says is statistically normal.
But NanoBanana 2 actually listened.
It did. It successfully drew the horse sitting on the human's back.
Which is a hilarious image to imagine.
It really is. But it proves that its instruction following hierarchy places a higher value on your specific text than on its historical biases.
It's a great demonstration of robust language comprehension. However, it's important to contextualize that test.
Fair point.
The Decoder noted that while NanoBanana 2 passed the logical instruction test with flying colors when they ran the same prompt through the hidden Pro model, the Pro version produced a slightly more dynamic and textured visual output.
So Pro still holds the crown for absolute peak artistic detail and microtextures.
Yes. But for 99% of practical applications, NanoBanana 2's combination of logic and speed wins out.
Which explains why development teams are rushing to integrate it. For those looking to build with this, the access points are pretty broad.
Google has structured access to serve different tiers of users. Developers can tap into the model directly via the Gemini API, experiment visually in Google AI Studio, or deploy it through Vertex AI,
which is Google's enterprise machine learning platform designed for secure, large-scale cloud applications.
Right. And in their developer documentation, Google stresses a golden rule for prompting this new architecture. Quote, describe the scene. Don't just list keywords.
That's a big shift from the early days of AI art. You used to just type a string of comma-separated tags like sunset, cyberpunk, 8K, highly detailed.
Because the language understanding is so deep now, a natural narrative paragraph provides the model with much better relational context. A full sentence helps it understand how the objects in the scene should interact with each other,
rather than just treating them as isolated visual stickers.
Precisely.
There's also a technical feature for developers building conversational editing apps called thought signatures. If you're having a multi-turn conversation with the AI, say you tell it to generate a modern kitchen, and then in your next prompt you say, now change the cabinets to blue. How does the AI remember what the original kitchen looked like without just generating a totally new room that happens to have blue cabinets?
That's where the thought signatures come in. When the API generates the first image, it doesn't just return pixels. It returns an encrypted cryptographic payload, the thought signature.
Okay.
This signature represents the model's latent mathematical understanding of the spatial layout it just created. So when you send your second prompt asking for blue cabinets, the application passes that signature back to the API.
It passes the memory back.
Yes. The model unloads that context, realizes it's looking at the same 3D space, and alters only the targeted pixels, preserving the structural continuity of the room.
Here's where it gets really interesting for you listening right now. You might be hearing all this talk about APIs, Vertex AI, and encrypted payloads, and thinking, well, this is great for software engineers, but I just want to generate images.
The reality is, you don't need to know how to code to take advantage of this today.
Exactly. The internal research brief we reviewed from urender.ai shows how rapidly this technology is reaching the end user interface.
Urender.ai provides an excellent case study of aggregator platforms in this space. They've already fully integrated the Nano Banana 2 architecture into their web-based dashboard,
bypassing the need for users to manage API keys or server infrastructure entirely.
Right.
And the major advantage of using a platform like urender.ai is that you're never locked into a single ecosystem. You don't have to choose between models. You get access to the lightning-fast, cost-effective Nano Banana 2, but it sits right alongside the heavier Nano Banana Pro model,
as well as over 20 other AI image generation models from entirely different companies.
Having that level of optionality is vital for professional workflows.
It really is. If you're an art director trying to maintain what urender.ai calls brand AI consistency, you can't rely on a single model's aesthetic bias. You need to be able to run a single prompt through multiple models simultaneously.
You might use Nano Banana 2 for rapid conceptual ideation and then push the final chosen composition through a heavier model for the ultimate high-resolution render.
It's about having a complete toolbox rather than just one very fast hammer.
Urender.ai also offers a free trial with generation credits, which is honestly the most frictionless way for you to jump in, test that multi-model workflow, and see how Nano Banana 2 handles your specific creative style without any upfront commitment.
It's a highly accessible entry point. However, to maintain a rigorously balanced perspective on this technology, we must acknowledge the limitations of Nano Banana 2.
Always important to look at the flaws.
Despite the massive architectural upgrades, the model cards from DeepMind are quite transparent about where the system still falters.
I appreciate when technical documentation doesn't hide the flaws. What are the main roadblocks users are going to hit when they start pushing this model?
First, while it handles standard resolutions and typical scenes beautifully, its performance degrades if the scene is overwhelmingly complex.
Too much going on.
Right. If you ask for dozens of highly detailed interacting elements in a single frame, it will struggle with fine-grained definition. Second, we talked about its impressive character consistency across a few images. But if you attempt to push that to an extreme, say, generating a 50-panel sequential comic book,
that consistency will drift.
Yes, it will begin to exhibit mathematical drift. By panel 40, the character's facial structure might look noticeably different than in panel 1.
I also noticed the documentation highlighted that it occasionally gets confused by basic spatial instructions.
The left-right problem.
Yeah. If you explicitly prompt it to put an apple on the left side of a table and an orange on the right, it might swap them entirely. It is highly ironic that the model can perfectly deduce how a horse should sit on a human's back, but it fails at left versus right.
It's a fascinating quirk of how large language models operate. They process language sequentially as abstract tokens. Mapping those abstract positional words left, right, behind onto a strict 2D coordinate grid remains a uniquely difficult challenge for the architecture.
That makes sense.
Additionally, while we praised the text rendering earlier, the documentation notes that if you're attempting to generate very small text within a lower 1K resolution image, the typography can sometimes appear blurry or degraded due to pixel compression.
So you really need to utilize the 2K or 4K outputs for crisp microtypography.
You do.
That is a crucial detail if you're designing dense infographics or detailed promotional flyers. Finally, we need to touch on the safety and provenance mechanics. Because as the barrier to creating highly realistic, localized imagery drops, knowing the origin of a file becomes paramount.
Google has implemented two distinct layers of provenance here. Every single image generated by NanoBanana 2 includes an invisible synthiaid watermark embedded directly into the pixel data.
Completely imperceptible to the human eye.
But it's easily detectable by verification software, even if the image is cropped or compressed. Secondly, they append C2PA content credentials to the file. Think of C2PA as a permanent digital nutrition label that travels with the image.
Show them exactly when, how, and by which AI model it was generated. And the adoption of these standards is scaling rapidly. Since November 2025, the SynthID watermark alone has been utilized over 20 million times by platforms and individuals verifying synthetic media online.
It's no longer just a neat feature. It's becoming a foundational layer of trust on the internet.
It provides an absolutely necessary paper trail as we enter an era where photorealism is essentially free and instantaneous.
Definitely.
So to synthesize all of this, NanoBanana 2 represents a massive, democratizing leap forward for AI image generation. It takes the brilliance and reasoning power of Google's Pro models and makes it significantly faster, impressively cheaper, and highly precise in following complex instructions.
But it really is.
Whether you are a developer looking to slash your back-end API costs by 50%, or a visual creator wanting to build cohesive multi-character storyboards on an aggregator platform like your render.ai, this architecture fundamentally rewrites the traditional speed versus quality compromise.
If we step back and look at the trajectory of this technology, it raises a rather profound question. If tools like NanoBanana 2 make it incredibly cheap, fast, and effortless to generate infinite, flawless, studio-quality images, what happens to the cultural value of human imperfection?
Wow.
In 5 or 10 years, when absolute visual perfection is the baseline standard, will we see messy, flawed, or asymmetrical art become the new premium luxury simply because its imperfections prove an AI didn't create it? Or will we eventually value the provenance metadata of an image just as much as the visual beauty itself?
That is a brilliant question to sit with. As perfection becomes infinite, the human flaw might become the ultimate signature of value. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into NanoBanana 2. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and we'll catch you next time.